everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL Insider, Adam Schefter.
Initially, I was told from the jump, 3 to 4 weeks. I was told initially that the games that were most likely for him to come back were either the Vikings in week 4 or the Rams in week 5.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island.
Always love catching up with our guy, ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter, every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Adam.
What is going on there, Gabe? How are we doing today?
We're doing great. You know, Jen's not here. Chewy's been in and out. But Chewy, despite not being on camera, is here. So you'll just be hearing his voice, Adam. But I got to imagine it's been a busy last 24 hours with you, the way everything's been going down with the New York Jets. And with all the reporting that's been out there and everything that's done, I mean, this is Rodgers' last season. He's not playing for the Jets next season, right?
I mean, I would not expect that to be the case. Again, things always can happen that change things. Like, who knows if they wind up hiring Mike McCarthy as their head coach, and all of a sudden he wants Aaron Rodgers, and they don't get a quarterback they want in the draft, and he's sitting there. Could something like that happen? Absolutely. But today, on its surface, all you have to do is look at it logically and say this. You say, okay, the GM that went out and traded for Aaron Rodgers is gone. The head coach who had Aaron Rodgers is gone. The two men who wanted him there are gone. They're changing over everything. What are the chances when you're changing over everything that you're bringing back a 41-year-old quarterback who has played ordinary football this year, right?
Yeah, so with that, what would a market for Aaron Rodgers even be next year if the Jets wanted to trade him or just cut him the way that the Broncos cut Russell Wilson?
I actually think it would be kind of similar to what Russell Wilson went through. Like, it wasn't like there were a bevy of teams out there. There were select situations where he was connected to that consideration. Look, with all due respect, I don't believe there's a team out there that's saying, boy, we are going all in on Aaron Rodgers for the season. Like, I just don't think that that's happening. Now, I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example of a situation. I'm not telling you this is going to happen. I'm just telling you, like, okay, here's an example. Minnesota loses Sam Darnold in free agency. Minnesota needs a veteran to kind of be there in case J.J. McCarthy's ready.
Yeah.
Hey, let's sign Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's plausible. Like, that when you hear that scenario, that's the type of thing, the type of example that you're talking about. Now, I'm not telling you that's going to happen. I'm just saying that's the level of what we're looking at this offseason. I don't think there's a team out there that's going to be rebuilding its roster, changing its quarterback room, and saying, we have to go get Rodgers to make this team complete the way the Jets did 2 years ago. But in a certain situation, he might be a good fit, depending on who's coaching where, depending on what teams do at each quarterback slot. Could I see him in play? Yes. Yes. Do I see somebody breaking the bank for him? No. And by the way, does he want to play too? That's also a question. Because at times when you're watching this year, he looks like a guy like, if I could be inside his head at that moment, there's got to be a voice that's saying, why did you do this? Like, what are you doing this for?
Adam, going back to the Packer-Bear game, I'm sure you saw the field goal, the blocked field goal.
Yeah.
Was that a penalty or was it a penalty? That was a penalty?
I'm not a big rules guy. And
big rule breaker?
I don't know.
Is that you?
Like,
that's your personality? You break all the rules?
Chewy, you think it was a penalty?
Well, I was a long snapper, not a very good one, but I did do the job. And my understanding of the rule, Adam, is you have to allow the center to get his head up, which I don't think happened in that instance. But I think the NFL makes it so hard on themselves. If they just took away each gap to either side of the snapper, it's not a problem anymore. When they make this a subjective call, I don't even think the officials know what the rule is. It's just I think the NFL in the or it's the rules committee that make it more difficult on the officials. What's the big deal if you just take away that gap, you know?
Yeah, well, the one thing that I hear, it's inconsistent. It's officiated differently from one week to the next, mm-hmm. one game to the next. You never really know exactly what you're going to get. So was it a penalty? Maybe. In certain games it was. In certain games it wasn't. Depends on who the crew is. Depends on who the matchup is. Like, it's hard to always predict if and when it is a penalty, Chewy.
Talking with Adam Schefter, as we do each and every week here on Wednesdays on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Just how beat up are the 49ers? Because they've been beat up all year. Packers have them coming up next. And I feel this is a really good opportunity for them to make it really hard for the Niners to make the playoffs.
The Niners have been off all year long. This is not new. This is something that anybody who has paid attention to them could see coming from miles away. And it started in the offseason with the Ayuk holdout, and there were other issues with defensive linemen leaving. Javon Kinlaw goes to New York, and Eric Armstead goes to Jacksonville. And the start of the season happens with Javon Hargrave going out of lineup with a torn tricep, and Christian McCaffrey doesn't play until 2 weeks ago, and then Brandon Ayuk tears his ACL, and now Nick Bosa hurts his hip and his oblique, and George Kittle misses last week of the hamstring. It's just like they're the damn 49ers, and they traded good health the last few years to pay it back this year, and it feels like the bill has come due on being fortunate with injuries, and they just have not looked like the same team this year all year long. Like, they gave away a game against the Rams at LA when they had a double-digit lead. They gave away a game last week against Seattle, and Geno leads them on a game-winning drive and scrambles for a touchdown. They gave away a game at home against Arizona when they had a double-digit lead. Those are not the things that great teams do. They just don't do that, and they've done that repeatedly. And look, we're 10, 11 games into the season, and by now you get a pretty decent sense of what a team is. And that team is not a team that's closed or played consistent or played well. It's just not. It's just not. Now, turn around the final 6-7 weeks, sure. Do I think that all of a sudden we're getting the 49ers that you're talking about from the last couple of years? No, that's not this team. They might be there next year. They might get back to that. But this whole year has just felt off. It just has.
Adam, can Pittsburgh and Minnesota win the Super Bowl?
Oh, of course they could, yeah. I mean, they wouldn't be the favorites, but they'd be in contention. You know, when I watch teams play this year, Detroit to me looks like the most impressive team by far. It's just week in, week out, you watch them and you're like, that's a really good football team. Really good football team. Could Green Bay beat Detroit? Absolutely. Could Minnesota or Pittsburgh beat Detroit? Absolutely. But if you're asking me today to pick one team to win the Super Bowl, I'd pick Detroit. And I feel good about that pick today.
Is that because they're the most complete team in the league right now?
Complete, consistent, both. Both. They don't have real bad days. And even when they do, when Goff throws five picks, they find a way to win. So to me, that's a sign of a good, strong, tough team. And they've been that all year long. And again, that doesn't mean that the rules are against the Packers, Steelers, Vikings, or some other team winning the Super Bowl. They certainly can. But to go beat the Lions and beat the Lions in Detroit, it's going to take an A game. It's going to take an A game. And they're going to have to be off their game. And I've heard the Lions say, as I've heard other great teams say, we're the only team that can beat us. You know, the only team that's going to beat us is us. I think in this case, it's probably true. Like, they're going to have a bad game. They're going to have a five-pick game, and the other team's going to have to play an A game.
So, Adam, I think we all agree that there's going to be multiple head coaching opportunities going into next year. Other than Ben Johnson, the OC of Detroit, what are some of the big names that are out there that are probably going to get an opportunity to fill those jobs?
Well, I think we're going to get anywhere between 7 and 9 this year. I feel confident that it will be a minimum of 7, and it could be up to 9, maybe 10, depending on how this all shakes out. But 7, I had somebody call me last night that works for a team, an executive, and he's like, I heard you say 7 to 9. We went through it. And he's like, huh? You're right. Yeah, I am. And when we start to look at the candidates, I think there's a group of guys that you look at and say, okay, here are some obvious candidates to me. Obvious. And when I say obvious candidates, these are guys that I expect to get interviewed. Now, we'll see how they interview and how it shakes out and what teams are looking for. But in no particular order, you got some guys that have done it before, Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel. You got some guys that are up and coming guys like Ben Johnson. You've got some guys that have been interviewed repeatedly in the past that I think will have a chance to get a job again. Like, I think of Aaron Glenn in Detroit. I think of Brian Flores in Minnesota. I think of Vance Joseph in Denver, who's done a great job with that defense. Jeff Hafley in Green Bay could get interviews. Absolutely. Could totally see that. Could see him getting interviewed for head coaching job. Yeah.
You think Saban would ever want to try another shot at the NFL?
I don't think so, Chewy. I think, you know, to me, it's a guy that's grinded for a long time. He looks like having a lot of fun on game day. By the way, I'm going to my candidate list right now. I just want to see like the names I'm missing because people are calling up and we're going over names and more names. Joe Brady, Matt Nagy, Kellen Moore. Jesse Minter's probably going to get some looks. You know, like
Spagnuolo? I asked this yesterday.
He's a great coach, and people love him. But I almost feel like, you know, like if he hasn't gotten it again by now, why is he going to get it now? Like, not say he couldn't get it or wouldn't deserve it, but what's going to – why different? Why this year and not last year or the year before?
I don't know. I mean, he's doing a hell of a job in Kansas City. In Kansas City, I mean, they got a handful of stars, but they certainly weren't – they're certainly not the 49ers of the past couple of years. You know, I think he's a great
– Yeah. Well, so do I. I mean, he in the Defensive Coordinator Hall of Fame, in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, one name you haven't mentioned – Adam, and this is a name that's been floated out there a couple of different times for a very specific job in a specific situation. If the Cowboys happen to draft his son, are we NFL public ready for what Deion being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys would bring in terms of attention and hype?
Well, why not? I love Deion. I mean, the guy.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the Cowboys get this much attention already, and then you throw Deion, who's brought the attention to Colorado of all places. I feel those two things converging would just be a hype, just a runaway train.
Well, that's what the Cowboys are. They get the hype now. It's a negative, you know, like everybody's reveling in them struggling the way they are. And when they, like, the Cowboys always get a lot of attention. Getting Deion doesn't mean they're going to get that much more. They can't. You just can't. Like, you know. Well,
you know, like, I think they'll try if they get Deion.
You know, it's like a beautiful woman putting on a beautiful outfit. Yeah, how much more beautiful can she be?
All right. Good analogy. So we started the show today, Adam. Chewy found out that he can actually use his debit card to purchase things. He had just been using his credit card and only used the debit card to get cash out of the bank. You were aware that you could use your debit card other places other than just, you know, the ATM machine, right?
Yeah. I go into my supermarket, my local supermarket. I put the debit card in there. I put my code in and pay for my groceries that way, Chewy. It's 2024.
I know, but I don't trust it, Adam. I just learned how to write a check like 4 years ago or 5 years ago. Now no one writes checks.
Yeah. That is true, by the way. Like, checks are exceedingly rare. And, like, also, I'll go into my checkbook. I'm like, wow, I've written a check in 3 months. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Do you carry cash?
I'm not a big cash carrier at all.
Like, do you get Do you get a paper ticket when you go to the airport?
Not always. Not always. But every now and then I will.
Okay. Because I don't trust technology.
You do, right?
I think I'll be ahead of the game when technology goes away. And you guys will all be calling me. Like, how do you write a check? I'm like, well, let me show you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, on the rare occasion that we would fly, my wife doesn't like to fly, but on the rare occasion, she was like, do you print my boarding pass? I'm like, no, I didn't print. Just print your phone. What do you mean? And so, like, she got mad at me, like, six consecutive. Print my boarding pass. Print my, right? And I showed it to her. I'm like, she's like, do you load my boarding pass onto my phone? You know, okay, you passed the printing ticket. Okay, good. There you go.
Chewy. When technology goes away, I don't think you knowing how to write a check is what's going to save you. You knowing how to make a fire is what's going to save you.
I can help you there, too.
Chewy's going to save Chewy. Chewy's going to save Chewy, and Chewy's going to save Shefty, too. Because I'm not very handy.
Shefty, we always appreciate the time, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week.
Have a great day, guys.
Adam Schefter joins us each and every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. He's brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino, a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because
you must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.